You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Join us as we remember a member of our church family.
We are here this morning to pay our respects to a dear son, a father, a brother, a fiancé, a nephew, a cousin, a friend, and a brother in Christ. We're here to reflect on who he was and how much he meant to us, but we are also here to receive comfort, in our sorrow, and to be encouraged, by the knowledge that Jeremy is now in the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. O Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And we humbly ask you to look down upon our grieving hearts and to be gracious to us. Help us, Lord, to cast every care upon you, and through your mercy and grace, find comfort and peace. We pray, Lord, that this service will be honoring to Jeremy's memory and also honoring to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you all of these things in his name. Amen. Psalm 23 has been a favorite scripture passage of many people, including Jeremy, and it has brought comfort to grieving men and women for millennia. And in it, God is described as a shepherd, and a shepherd faithfully provided for the needs of his sheep. He gently cared for them, and he protected them. And likewise, secure in God's care, we can release all of our heavy burdens and rest in his peace. David tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. What kind of person was Jeremy? What were his beliefs and his passions in life? In just a moment, I'll give anyone who'd like to speak an opportunity to do so. For now, Jeremy's obituary tells us this. It says, "Jeremy E. Kakamo, age 29, of Wonder Lake, passed away Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. He was born March 27th, 1988, the son of John Sr. and Janet Kakamo. Jeremy was a member of the Wonder Lake Bible Church and the Not One More organization. He was a very loving father to his daughter, Brielle. Jeremy was always willing to lend a helping hand and jump in when people needed him. He will forever be remembered for his big heart, and Jeremy will be greatly missed by all who knew him. He is survived by his loving daughter, Brielle, by his parents, John Sr. and wife, Peggy Kakamo, and Janet Kakamo, brothers, Rich and John Jr. and Jimmy, fiancé Jasmine Willens, and many aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends." Well, that tells us a few things about Jeremy, but of course, there is much, much more to say. He loved the outdoors, and he loved to fish. He liked history. I could relate to him on that, because I love history too. And he also loved movies, and westerns in particular. But I understand I had noticed this about him, but then as I was speaking with the family, I got a little more detail on it, and it turns out that my observations were correct, and that is he was a meticulous groomer. Did anyone else ever notice that about him? He was a meticulous groomer, and it has been said, I have this on good authority, that he spent more time in the bathroom than the average female. So, and he was also a sociable person. He was a sociable person who liked to talk. And he was also pretty straightforward, a straightforward person who said what he thought. And it has been said he could perhaps be a bit stubborn at times, or so I hear. But he also had a generous spirit. And he liked to help people, to do what he could to help people. He loved his old English bulldog, who liked to sleep in his room with him. And Jeremy could often be heard saying, "I love my puppy." But of course, though, that love was special for his daughter. He adored his daughter, Brielle, and she loved her daddy. And Jeremy would take Brielle to some daddy-daughter dances. I think it's no secret, though, that he had his struggles with addiction. But he knew he had that problem, and he was working to overcome. And he had matured a lot over the last few years, working to put his life together. But this terrible scourge of addiction got hold of him. And our hearts are devastated. They're devastated by this loss. And we will all miss him deeply. I'd like to give others an opportunity to speak now. And we'll begin with his brother, Rich.
When I was about 7 years old, I remember telling my mom that multiple times that I wanted a little brother. And I remember the first time that I heard that I was going to have a little brother, and I was so happy I couldn't wait to be a big brother. Jeremy always wanted me to be there he wanted to come with me whenever I'd try to leave. When he was little and first learning how to talk, he would cry out my name from his crib every time I tried to leave the room to go out and play with my friends. It was so heartbreaking to leave him and hearing him cry out my name, but I always told him that it'd be okay and I'd be back. It never really calmed him down. And now I feel like the tables have turned. Now I'm the one crying every day, calling out his name, hoping that he would come back. We would tease each other and pick on each other, as I think any brothers would. One of his favorite juice drinks when we were little that he used to drink was based off of a Ghostbusters theme, and we called it Slimer juice. I'm not sure if that's really what it was called. And one time I was teasing him, and he was around 2 years old when he was drinking it used to come in a metal can, and he was drinking it straight out of the can. And I remember he got mad, and he threw it at me and gave me a fat lip. And I think that was the first time he really ever fought back when I was teasing him. And there was many more times that he pushed back whenever I was teasing him. We used to have these little brawls for fun when we were young. And there was one instance that we used to talk about time and time again. I would like to think that he would like me to share this, however inappropriate it may be. To make things even, because I was around 8 years older than him, we had made some wooden knuckles for him to use to try to even it up for us. During one of our episodes of these brawls, he got a punch in and broke the wooden knuckles on my chest. We always looked back together and shared that memory. There were a lot of good times with wrestling matches between me and him, between me and my friends against him and his friends. Obviously, it was never fair. But I'd like to think that it toughened him up to make him to be able to take on whatever was thrown his way. He would always get back up and come back at me again and never gave up. Jeremy did not have it easy growing up. He had many struggles with multiple ear problems and had to get tubes in his ears to help. He struggled with school, and we helped him out as much as possible. We all just wanted the best for him, and whenever he struggled, we would try our best to help him through it. We didn't have the most money in the world growing up, so we didn't get to take many vacations. My mom always wanted to do something for us every summer, so she would take us out to Santa's Village. I think they're building it back up now. It used to be kind of big back then, and I know we always looked forward to it. Thank you, Mom. There's another memory that we didn't talk about too much, and we kind of laughed at ourselves about it. Me and Jeremy ended up in downtown Wonder Lake on a Father's Day at a bar. We shared a bunch of our thoughts, feelings, and of course some shots. Before we knew it, we were both pretty much bawling our eyes out over different, you know, father-like aspects of our lives. I'm sure he wasn't even old enough to drink at the bar then, but he always had a way with people, so he was allowed in. Jeremy had something that I always admired. He was a people person. He would be there for you, and he would be real. He would tell you like it was, and he always gave it to me straight. You see, I'm a dreamer, and I always got carried away with my dreams, and he would be able to keep me grounded. I would do anything for Jeremy, including trade places with him and taking the rap for him for things that had happened to him. He had it rough. He had it rough as it was, and if I could make it easier for my little brother, I would. This brings me to a time when I was contacted at night about him sliding off the road into a ditch about 15 to 20 feet below the level of the road. I knew he couldn't get into trouble for driving, and the tow truck driver said that he had to close off the road, which meant the police were going to be called. I rushed over as fast as I could, beating the police there. I told them that I was driving and I lost control. I would always trade places with Jeremy, and I would have done it again so that he could have lived to accomplish the goal of a chance at a normal life. I know there was hope for him and that he was on the right path. Jeremy was a rocker and he loved heavy metal. He used to say he never felt more alive than when he was in a mosh pit. Which brings me to my next memory. We went to Ozfest with a few friends, and I got to see Jeremy in action. He was always braver than I was, and he had a bigger build than me. I really had no place in a mosh pit, but I did it anyway. I got thrown around a bunch and knocked down to the ground numerous times, and he helped me back up. When we were done moshing, Jeremy had messed up his ankle real bad, and I was instructed to get a few stitches from a hospital by the people in the medical tent. But of course, we just went back to the show and ended up somewhere around 10th row. Jeremy was a great brother. He would do anything for me and a lot of you if you ever needed him to. He was always much stronger than I, and I know I wouldn't have lasted long if I ever had to walk in his shoes. He was my little brother, but I looked up to him for his strength and perseverance through all the challenges he had to overcome in his life. I love you, Jeremy, more than I can ever express. Through the last few months of your life, I know you found happiness and hope. Even though it seemed like we were taking care of you a lot, really you were helping a lot of us. I can never measure up to all you did for everyone and all the times that you were there for the people in our lives. I truly hated to see you struggle through life. There's no more suffering that you have to endure now, and you can finally rest. We will be together again someday, Jeremy. To end this, I am going to read the last part of your obituary that you had to write as one of your projects for one of the places you were receiving help in 2015. And I hope this is okay with you, brother. Though he had many struggles in life, no matter what happened, he would try his hardest to conquer them. When he got knocked down, he would always get up and try again. If he got knocked back down, he would get right back up again. Loved by most, hated by few, Jeremy, you will be missed.
Thank you, Rich. Is there anyone else who'd like to say something?
Hey guys, I'm Jasmine, if any of you don't know me. I'm just gonna read what I wrote. I'm not good at speaking in front of people, but I wanna try and do it justice somehow. I loved Jeremy with all of my heart. I still do and I always will. He was an extraordinary person. And when he smiled, he could make anyone feel at ease. I knew Jeremy for a little over 10 years. However, when I was a child, my dad would always go over to his house to work on Janik's computer, so I always kind of knew of him. When we were younger, we didn't get along all that great, and I have a few memories of fights we had gotten into. The first time I saw him again, after being away from Wonder Lake for more than a couple of years, he had walked into an NA meeting at Sintegra. I wasn't even sure it was him at first. I had to look him up on Facebook to compare his picture. I was so resentful of him being in that room. I thought, what is this guy doing at my meeting? I thought he would make fun of me for being there. I thought he would make fun of me for how serious I was about my recovery. I was so far from the fact there, though. He walked into that room on his own, not court ordered, not because people were forcing him to be there. He made the decision to turn his life around. He had made the decision to fight. He was so shy and quiet in the rooms at the beginning, but he opened up. We went to the meetings together, and somewhere along the way, we fell in love. I told him one day that we didn't have to hang out at meetings, that we could hang out outside the rooms as well if he wanted to. So we made a date for that following Saturday, a date I blew off because I was nervous. We were just laughing about that about a week before he passed. I don't know when it happened, but that man stole my heart. We became inseparable and loved every moment of being together. We were both new to sobriety, however, and we both knew we had to be careful. So we went down to Springfield for a heroin awareness rally, and I had never seen him more motivated and more amped up about helping spread the word. He was so excited to be a part of something. When we first got down there, we didn't know what to do with ourselves. So we bought a checkerboard, wondering what sober people did for fun. It sounds lame, but we had the best time playing. I think we just had a great time being together. I'll never forget how he went to help pick up a friend in front of the Capitol because he couldn't walk as far as we had parked the car. For some reason, Jeremy thought it'd be a great idea to go around the barricades in front of the Capitol nonetheless. And the second we went through them, a cop came speeding around the corner at us. He went around those barricades because he didn't want our friend to have to walk. He was always trying to do the best for people without thinking of the consequences. It's cliche, but he would have given you the shirt off of his back. One of my favorite stories to tell to people was one time we were at Starbucks, and it was the day of the Memorial Day parade, so the place was jam-packed. We were both in line to go to the bathroom, a line that went all throughout the store. There was a mom and her son, probably five people or so behind us, and Jeremy got to offer for them to go ahead of us because he didn't want the little boy to have an accident. He was always thinking of other people, and in that moment, I loved him more than I thought I could. He was such a caring person. Jeremy tried helping so many people. He always gave out his number at meetings, and he always answered his phone. He was so grateful for the program and so grateful for the way his life was turning around. Jeremy had a lot of demons to battle, though. I remember one time we were driving, and he told me his head was full of demons. I took his hand, and I told him that I would slay them with him, that he would never be alone in this. He said that was the most beautiful and meaningful thing anyone had ever said to him. That man was my rock. I found home within him. Those demons had won in the end, but let me tell you, he fought his hardest to the very end. Because of heroin, I spent July 7th with his family at a funeral home. We spent the day picking out memorial cards when we should have been picking out wedding invitations. We were deciding on a church for a funeral. When we should have been picking out one for a wedding. We were picking out a casket when I should have been picking out a dress. Heroin took the love of my life away from me. It's no longer fun and games. People in this county are dying every day from overdoses, from their drugs being laced. If anyone in here is struggling, if this is a wake-up call for anyone, don't take it for granted. Do something before it's too late. Reach out for help. I will do everything in my power to lead you in the right direction, to lead you to the right people, just as Jeremy would have, just as he tried to do many a times. I loved Jeremy with all of my heart. I never loved anyone the way I did him. I also know no one will ever love me the way he did again. At first, that broke my heart. But you know what? Now I'm grateful that I knew that kind of love. Why God gave us such a short amount of time together, I'll probably never know. But you know what I do know? I'm going to smile because it happened. I'm not going to cry because it's over. We gained a guardian angel on July 5th. And with that, I know he'll always be with me. He'll always be with us until we meet again.
I know how difficult it can be to get up and speak in front of people. But especially in circumstances like this. I know that takes courage to do that. And I know that he'd be very proud of both of you for getting up and speaking like that. We have a terrible problem in this community and our nation with drug addiction. But I think most of us in this room already know that. And I can tell you, not just from reading about it, but from personal experience with many people in our community, knowing that this is true, because besides serving as the pastor here, I also work with our fire department as the chaplain and have been on far too many scenes where this has taken someone's life. So I know that it has devastated the lives of many in our town, including us here this morning. And, you know, some people look at situations like this and they may judge or condemn people who are struggling with drug addiction. But I want you to know that Jeremy faces no condemnation, no judgment. He was not condemned here. He was not judged here in this family. But more importantly, though, I can tell you, too, that because of his faith in Christ, he is not condemned before God. I know that he struggled. I know that he was a work in progress. But you're looking at a work in progress up here, too. Every one of us is. Because the truth is that we all have our struggles, don't we? And there isn't a perfect one in this room. We all have our personal battles. But sadly, Jeremy's battle took his life. And it took it at such a young age. But Jeremy knew that he had a problem and he was struggling mightily to overcome. And some of you here fought that battle alongside him. And thank you for that. But Jeremy also knew that Jesus had come for him. And Jeremy believed that Jesus had died to save him from himself, from his sin and from his addiction and from his struggles, and that he had delivered him from his greatest enemy, which is death, condemnation. You know, there is a passage in the Bible that talks about the inner struggles that all of us have. And you know, when a person puts faith in Christ, it's a wondrous moment. It's a wondrous moment of transformation and rescue from God's judgment and death. Faith in Christ brings a new right standing with God. It brings forgiveness of sin and it brings the gift of eternal life, among many things. But it does not mean that we are instantly delivered here and now from every struggle and affliction. All of us who have believed in Him know that that's true. That we have been delivered unto eternal life, but we still have our share of struggles now, don't we? We still have our battles. And listen to what none other than the Apostle Paul himself said in the book of Romans chapter 7 about this struggle. He's trying to understand himself. He doesn't understand why he does the things he does sometimes. That he knows the law of God, what God says is good and right and true. He knows that. And in the deepest heart of hearts, he believes that and he wants to do that right. But yet he knows there's something else inside of him that doesn't, that fights against it. And he doesn't understand it. And so he says this in Romans 7. He says, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good, so I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I have discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. What a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? But thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. But now there is no condemnation. There's no judgment for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So we all struggle within with that sin, with those compulsions, with those addictions. But Christ has overcome that. We've not been instantly freed from it all right here and now, but He has overcome. And the apostle goes on to say, and because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. See, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. You see, through faith in Him is final and ultimate victory. Final and ultimate victory in Christ. And therefore, we have eternal hope. And Paul acknowledges, though, that while we have that hope of eternal life, the forever life, we struggle right here and now and in this world. But he knew that there was something greater, much greater awaiting. And so he goes on to say in Romans 8, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. And against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. And we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including the new bodies he has promised us. And we were given this hope when we were saved. It says what? That all the creation is struggling and groaning and waiting for that day when God will fix and make right everything that is wrong in this world. And that is that hope that is ours through faith in Christ. It says, but until that day, we have hope not only for then, but here and now. And so he concludes by saying, what shall we say then about such wonderful things as this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. So I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, angels nor demons, our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I know Jeremy knew struggles. But he also knew the one who had overcome it all and had eternal hope. You know, as Rich was reading earlier, his thoughts that of something that Jeremy had written, where he said he wanted to be known as someone who he was knocked down, but he always got up. He got knocked down again, but he got up. He was knocked down again, and he got up. And just again, on July 5th, he was knocked down. But you know what? He is not going to get himself up from this one, but he will get up because God is going to get him up and raise him up in victory with Christ. The demons did not win the battle. Jesus did. And so Jeremy will triumph in the end through Christ who conquered all. Through that faith in him is the forgiveness of our sin. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment. Because Jesus took the judgment. He took the condemnation for us. There's the gift of a right standing before him. There's eternal life. There's eternal inheritance. There's God's presence here and now. There's peace with God. There's promise that God will complete the redemption. You see, he's going to complete the redemption that he began in Jeremy. Jeremy was a work in progress, and I am a work in progress. Everyone who believes in Christ is a work in progress. everyone in this room, in some sense or another, is a work in progress, aren't we? But God always finishes what he starts. You know, I wish I could say that I finish everything that I start. Does anyone here, can anyone in this room say, I have always finished everything I've ever started in my entire life? Probably not. But you know what? God never fails to finish what he starts. And he started a work of rescue in Jeremy's life. And he will bring that rescue to its ultimate and final conclusion. Jeremy's present with the Lord, with him now in spirit. But God will raise that body that we buried last Friday. He's going to raise it in glorious power and immortality. And that's the hope of the resurrection that Jeremy shared in. And he has been and will be reunited with other believers forever and ever. And God will do this all for Jeremy by his mighty power. You know, I want to share with something. If you are part of this church family, been here for a while, you've heard this story before. You've heard this illustration before. I'm going to ask you to bear with me for just a moment here. But I know there are many who have not heard us. Some of you might think, well, can God really do all this? Can God really rescue Jeremy fully and finally? Can he really rescue all who put their trust in him? Can God raise his body and make it new and glorious like the resurrection body of Jesus? Can he really do it? Does God have the power to do that? Uh-huh, I heard someone say back there, I thought. Well, he does. And I want to give you just a little illustration of the power of God, something maybe we don't think about. But you know, there's a star not too far from us, a mere 93 million miles away. We call it the sun. And you know, the sun is about a million times bigger than the earth. And do you know how much power is radiating or emanating from that sun? Well, just think for a minute how much power it takes to run human civilization. These lights that are on in here, the fans and everything, our houses, all around the world, how much energy, how much power does it take to run human civilization? Well, did you know that every 2 seconds, the power that radiates from the sun just out into space is enough power to run human civilization for 1 million years? And that's every 2 seconds. It's just radiating out in space. That's a lot of power, don't you think? You think, wow, okay, well, that's incredible, that sun. But you know what? That sun is one star of a couple of 100 billion stars in our galaxy. Did you know that the largest star that we know of in our galaxy now, it's called UY Scutae, it is 5 billion times larger than our sun. So imagine our sun. We could put 5 billion of our sun inside this one star. How much power do you think radiates from that star? And again, that's one star out of a couple of 100 billion in our galaxy. And our galaxy is one galaxy of a couple of 100 billion in the known universe. So what does this have to do with Jeremy and us here today? Well, think about the power it took for God to create all of that, to do it all by the power of his command, and to do it instantly from nothing, to create all that is. What kind of power does it take to create that much power? So does God have the power to raise his body and to deliver him finally and fully? Yeah. It's not difficult either, is it, for him? See, and that's the hope that we have in the scriptures then. See, Jeremy knew God's grace. He had his struggles, but he also knew that there was final hope in Christ. And now Jeremy, who knew God's grace in that way, has now experienced his grace on a whole new level. And because of that, now his chains are gone. His chains are gone forever. Let's pray. Eternal God, you are the consolation and the support of all who trust in you. And I pray that you would grant your sustaining strength to our grieving hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we need not grieve as those who have no hope, So we thank you for that hope that we have in Christ. We thank you that Jeremy had that hope in Christ and is now with you awaiting that great and glorious day of your return when you will raise our mortal bodies and complete the wondrous work of rescue that you have begun in us. Enable us, Lord, to look beyond this earthly life and help us to see the things that are eternal. Grant that we may follow with true faith where you lead, so that when our days are finished upon this earth, we will find our eternal home with you. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.